From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Many in the country are asking the question, is America ready to elect a woman president? Today on Morning Edition, a woman considering a presidential run answered that question herself.
So until a woman steps into that arena, and believe me, probably better than most, I know how brutal an arena it is. But until somebody does that, we really won't know.
That was Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton speaking with my colleague, Steve Inskeep. With Senator Clinton and Senator Barack Obama considering a White House run, we're exploring the role of race and gender in politics. Today, America's willingness to send a woman to the White House.
It's time. Men have been running it, and they've been running it in the ground. So it's time for some new ideas, fresh ideas. We're ready for a woman president. But the men would have a problem with that.
Coming from Texas, I think the majority of us feel that with a male leader, we feel safer. I would not vote for a woman president, ever.
Women I've seen on television, the reporters and things, I mean, they've done a splendid job. We have a governor that's a woman, and, you know, they've shown they're very intelligent, and they'll do a good or better job than some of the men.
I don't know. I guess men elude that thing of power, you know, of a man being in charge type of deal. And when I vote for a woman, you know, it would have to be something like where the candidates were really horrible, maybe, or the country was going downhill, or a woman who had maybe good military experience.
Some thoughts from around the country. That was Al Vedder on Long Island, David Giardino in Westport, Connecticut, Nadia Collin of Texas, and Sheila Scott in Brooklyn, New York. Other than what we've seen in the movies or on television, the notion of an American president wearing lipstick and pearls is an abstraction. Around the world, dozens of women have served as heads of state, but no woman has ever won the presidential nomination of a major political party in the U.S. Geraldine Ferraro was a candidate for vice president in 1984. A few years later, Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, a Democrat from Colorado, thought about running, traveled the country, decided against it, and exited the presidential stage in tears.
I will not be a candidate for president. I could not figure out how to run and not be separated.
I never wanted to do it unless I really thought I could win it. At that time, as you know, every year more and more countries were having women break through at the prime minister level or something, and the question was, do you think we could do this in America? And the answer I had to come up with was probably not in 1987.
Pat Schroeder, now retired from politics, is president and CEO of the Association of American Publishers. Even after two decades, she says a woman still faces steep obstacles.
One of the tough things about running for president in America is we say, President of the United States, leader of the free world, commander-in-chief. Somehow when it becomes a woman, that becomes a huge issue for segments of the population. And I'm hoping, seeing more and more young women in the military every day, that's starting to break down too.
When you were considering running in 1987, the resistance in some cases came from surprising quarters. Women of a certain age were not in the boat. They were not willing to support someone who looked just like them when it came down to the presidency. Do you think that's changed, or is that still an issue?
I think it's still a bit of an issue. It used to amaze me that people would say in the very same sentence, I'm so glad you're looking at running. All the rest of them look alike, sound alike, dress alike. However, you don't look presidential. Now, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? Visuals are so important when it comes to the president. What does the president look like? There has never been a president that looks like me or looks like you. So you start with this huge problem. The other thing is we want our presidents to look like the commander-in-chief, the physical, you know. So what is it that a woman does? Remember, the first George Bush was driving around in speedboats and eating pork rinds. And I mean, they're always are playing touch football or they're doing something. Now, when women start doing that, they look pretty silly. The two of us could probably sit here for the next 7 hours and try to think of what could we do visually to convey to people that kind of strength. And I'm not sure we come up with
Well, you know, someone is thinking about that right now.
Oh,
if a woman runs for president,
yes.
What is she going to have to put on? Hip waders and do some fly fishing? Or what's it got to be?
That's exactly right. And The other question is, what do you wear? Now, look, everyone in America knows how to dress a candidate for president. You put on a red tie, a white shirt, a suit. If you want to look your hardworking, you loosen the tie, you loosen the collar, you throw the coat over the shoulders, you run downstairs, you have a phone in your ear. What does a woman do? Again, women tend to either look like Vogue models or unmade beds. We don't have a formula for that. So all of these things that really are ancillary are still terribly important, and it's a real challenge.
That was Pat Schroeder, former congresswoman and would-be presidential candidate in the 1980s. To look at some of the obstacles a female candidate might face in 2008, we turn to Marie Wilson and Robert Rabin. Rabin is a political consultant. He runs the Rabin Group in Washington, D.C. Marie Wilson is president of the White House Project, a nonprofit devoted to increasing the number of women in elected office. The group has surveyed voter attitudes about women presidents in the U.S.
Since we started the White House Project, it was first 78% of Americans were comfortable. It went up to 82%, 86% are willing and ready to elect a female president. I'll tell you what would make an enormous difference, though, to the whole election process. When you have one woman, almost no matter who she is, she has to be man enough for the job. If we had more women actually out there on the campaign trail, then we would have to move beyond gender to their agenda. And after all, that is the issue.
Rob, is it possible to move beyond gender, though, if you're talking about a woman running for the White House?
Sure, it's possible. And it's going to happen. But unfortunately, the nation is a lot more sexist and racist than we admit to. There's a tremendous amount of muddy waters, rocky shoals between here and there. 14% of people admit in a poll that they won't vote for a woman or that they think a woman shouldn't be president. That's not an insignificant number. Look at the voting margins in the last two presidential elections that we've had. 14% is not insignificant. It's dispositive. You cannot win if 14% of the people stick with that.
Marie, your project, I understand, has done a number of focus group studies where you've brought people in and asked them to watch various campaign ads, trying to learn a little bit about what candidates can and cannot do. Tell me a little bit about that, and what I'm specifically interested in is what you learned in this. Where are the minefields?
Well, what we were trying to deal with is, of course, the most important thing for a woman running for executive leadership, which is, can you convey authority and toughness without losing your appeal? So we did dial testing. We tested the best ads that have ever been run by a woman running and a man running for governor. And what was fascinating is that we found two things. One is that women are not invested with the same kind of authority immediately, because if a man came on the screen immediately, people dialed up before he said a word. A woman came on, they kept the dials flat or dialed down. But if a woman came on and actually was able to be dressed in a certain way, which surprised me, they had to have on a suit, they had to be standing in front of something that conveyed authority, and they had to actually start talking very soon about what they had accomplished and in an active way, then they tested well.
You know, but Marie, as I listen to you, it seems like that would make for a very one-dimensional candidate. If the candidate always had to have a suit on, always had to be wagging a finger and talking about leadership and authority, it would be hard for the voters to get to know that woman as a person if they never had a chance to see her in a pair of jeans, in a running suit, in an athletic situation. Rob, you're shaking your head as I'm asking this question. What do you think about that?
God bless the female candidate and the staff that work for the female candidate. It's going to be the most head-scratching, how do I position this? I helped my friend Janet Reno when she wanted to run for governor of Florida. Unbelievable conversations about hair, no makeup, makeup. What are you wearing? What aren't you wearing? Should you be shown in a canoe, not a canoe? Strength. She's too strong. Is she stern, or is she that other word that we don't say in public? The navigation that one has to do is extraordinary.
When we talk about a black or a female candidate, we're most likely talking about a Democrat. And I'm wondering how a female candidate will reach out to a group of voters that have been identified by both parties, both Republicans and Democrats, as being key to winning the White House. And those are white men who are married, who are church-going, who are employed, and who, according to polls, are less likely to support either a black or a female candidate. How does a female candidate reach out to that group, that key group?
Well, I think our common sense would tell us that the largest portion of this last election was about the war in Iraq. I think a great many of the men that we're talking about would be concerned about whether that candidate, be she Democrat or Republican, could lead in time of war. And she will really have to prove her credentials with regard to the support from the military. And that is one thing that would be in Rice's favor, maybe, but certainly in Hillary Clinton's favor.
Condoleezza Rice.
Yes, Condoleezza Rice.
In response to the question of how she gets the church-going married white guys in the red states, I think it's every candidate's fantasy that everyone vote for you. I think we live in a world, though, where that's not the pragmatic campaign strategy. The campaign strategy for every candidate is either mobilize your base better than the other guy or woman, or win over people who weren't inclined to vote for you. Now, Mrs. Clinton is preternaturally capable of doing both. You know, we've left out an important piece in this conversation. It's not a popularity contest. They don't run alone, and it's a straight-up referendum on whether we like them or not. There will be a defined candidate, or maybe more, there may be an independent, against whom they're going to run. So to the question of can a woman or can Mrs. Clinton win, tell me who they're going to run against.
If and when that happens, the female candidate and anyone she runs against, they'll all be on uncharted terrain. I was talking with political consultant Robert Rabin and Marie Wilson, president of the nonprofit White House Project. And we leave you with thoughts from across the country as Americans ponder that question. Has the time come for a female president?
I hope we nominate a woman for president. I'm not particularly happy about Mrs. Clinton.
I'm a very Bible-based believer, and they would have to have some good moral qualities.
I can guarantee you that I'm willing to elect a woman president.
I think we've got to forget the gender when it comes to electing a president. We just have to elect the right person. Person.
I see no reason why the American people could not accept a woman. Whether they will is another question.